thing about wheelchair basketball is the aspect of team sport more than anything, is the fact that, you know, when your cards are down or when your cards are up, you've got people around you to support you. And the big thing for me was, after my accident, was the fact to have people around me that could teach me new things, because I was used to being, I was new to being in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And, you know, to have a new family that could teach me things that my family couldn't, really, because, you know, there was no one else in my family that was disabled. That was in a wheelchair, you know, so maybe once. So for wheelchair basketball, what's it about wheelchair basketball? Well, it's just like, it's just fun, it's competitive, and it's just, there's something new every day. I know it's a sport, but there's always something new every day.
And your teammates must be pretty inspirational, like, with all their different stories and...
Yeah, exactly. And in this country, wheelchair basketball has done so well that, you know, you get your player mentors, people that are there for you, people that teach you things, day-to-day life skills and just general wheelchair basketball skills. You know, you've got amazing talent in this country.
Yeah. And, like, with your daily routine, how long do you have to train for every day?
It changes. On a Monday, Wednesday and a Friday, I have GB court sessions. So that's with the actual GB team. And then on my Tuesdays and Thursdays are my gym-based. And then 5 times a week I'll do a shooting session as well. So, you know, a lot of it's self-motivated, like most sport is.
Yeah.
You know, but we have those three days of actual court sessions with the team.
Okay. And I've heard a lot of horror stories from Amy about punishments you get at your camps. What do you think's been your worst memory?
Yeah, we get a little bit more than the girls, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I remember, not this April Fool's, the last April Fool's, Murray had us all up at 5:30 in the morning to do a push, and that was his April Fool's joke.
Oh, I think I've heard about that, yeah.
But, yeah, we're very... for instance, at a men's training camp, you would be up. We used to be up and do a two-mile sprint. It took us 2 miles to get down there and 2 miles to get back up. And then, you know, we'd have our shooting session, then breakfast, then back on the court for another 3 hours, then lunch, then back on the court. And then we wouldn't really finish until about 10:30. But, you know, it's a respect thing. I mean, in the last year, there hasn't been many punishments given to us because we have that respect for the coaches that we don't put ourselves in those situations. But it's really a respect and self-driven motivation. You know, the coaches in this country want the best out of us, and, you know, we have to give them the best. And if we don't, if our standard slips, you know, they pick us up on it, which is what we're grateful for, because, you know, we want to train at an elite level all the time, and sometimes, you know, it can drop off. So yeah, the punishments and the horror stories, you know, I mean, I've pushed for a whole session before. And the one thing in the men's program is, if you're 10 minutes early, you're early, but if you're 10 seconds late, you're late. And if you're late for a session, that's the worst thing. So there's a lot of respect and honour, and then that rubs off when we go on tournaments and trips away. No one's ever late for the buses, everyone's on time, and we're focused, we're a whole unit, we're a whole team. You know?
Yeah, so, it must make the team spirit a lot stronger, like, when you go through that kind of thing together.
You know, even whether we have a bit of hatred towards the coach.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's alright, because it builds character in the team, because everyone feels the same.
So, like, what do the Paralympics mean to you?
Play in the Paralympics is possibly one of the greatest honours. I mean, to play for your country as it is a massive honour, but to play on a playing stage like that, it's just another world, really. You know, there's so much change happened because of 2012 towards the Paralympic sports and the attitudes. You know, with Channel 4 coming on board, I do believe, and I still say it, that Channel 4 was the best thing to ever happen to the Paralympics, because, you know, it's the first time that in this country that the Paralympic sports have had the same coverage. But not only that, they've developed it in such a way that a lot of people in this country would watch it, but they're not educated in it, so they don't understand, like, you know, wheelchair basketball has the classification system. And general people in the population, probably they don't get that. Now, what they've managed to do because of 2012 and London is they've educated people with programs showing them what the classifications are. And so, you know, I'm meeting people in the streets that I've never met before, and because of the Paralympic Games, they know all about the sport and they know the rules, and they, you know, that's a big ask, and it makes it more enjoyable for them to watch. So the Paralympics, you know, just brings so much education to our individual sports. That's a crucial part.
Yeah, it's definitely growing. Must be
pretty
exciting.
Big time growing. I mean, this sport in this country has just gone crazy. I mean, look at your sister. She got found through you know, the funding that came in, she got spotted, you know, so that's, you know, that's it. The development of your sister so quickly is in reference to, you know, the money that's come in, you know, it's great.
Yeah. And, like, in relation to your accident, when and where did your accident occur and, like, what happened?
Yeah, in August the 6th, 2001,
yeah.
I was involved in a road traffic accident in Lincoln. And basically, it was a head-on collision where I was in the middle seatbelt. So I broke my back, broke my lower part of my back. Now, while I was part of rehabilitating, I was sent to Sheffield.
Yeah.
And that is actually where I started to play basketball. I started to train while I was still in hospital.
Really?
Yeah, because the team at the time, Sheffield Steelers, which is still one of the big teams now, they actually train in the hospital. And while I was there, I had these two ladies come to my bedside and say, hey, you know, do you want to... I was 9 at the time and said, hey, do you want to come and try wheelchair basketball? And I said, not really, because I play football. What's the attraction of basketball? She just went, no, just come down and give it a go. For over a year, I couldn't even, because I was very weak from the accident and things like that. For over a year, I couldn't even reach the basket.
Yeah.
But what gripped me to start off with was I thought it was human bumper cars. So I, at the age of 9, I got to sit in this wheelchair, go as fast as I can, and crash into as many people as I wanted, you know. So, yeah, so it was pretty fun. As a kid, it was fun. That's what it was.
So you were, like, thrown into it straight away?
Yeah, I was still in hospital. I played for my last three, four months in hospital, I was still playing. And then at the age of 10 was when I played in the National League. So
already? Well,
yeah.
Not bad. Like, what did you feel when you first realised you wouldn't be able to walk again?
I think a lot of people ask this.
Yeah.
I do believe, because of my level of maturity, as in lack of, because I was 9 years old.
Yeah.
To me, it was just a new challenge. There wasn't as much worry of how life or society was going to take me as such. I mean, obviously, it played in the back of my mind, but, you know, it's kind of one of those things, you know, I wasn't meant to survive, you know, I was meant to, I was in a coma for 2 weeks, and I basically, you know, beat death as such, you know,
no.
I wasn't meant to survive, and I looked at life, and I just said, you know what, I've basically died once already, I'm not going to die again, so, you know, I couldn't walk, so what? I've just got to get on with it. I've been given a second chance, and that's what it was for me. I've been basically given a second chance at life, and I thought I was just going to embrace it straight away. But for a lot of people who are a lot older, it can be quite difficult. So sometimes when people are like late teens, early 20s, when they have their accident, they're thinking about relationships and how it would affect them now they're in a wheelchair, and it can have a big impact on them. But for me, you know, my family around me, playing basketball, you know, that was the main thing for me. I know a lot of people go, really, playing basketball helped you? I was like, yeah, because, you know, these guys, I used to go training, they used to tell me about these cool things. You get these cars and you get to, like, put your chair in, at least how you put your chair in a car, and it's so cool, and it's easy, you know. So I, you know, they were my family support around me, so I wasn't really that worried. But, yeah.
So your family and friends played quite a big role in helping you to...
To rehabilitate, yeah. Yeah. And the best thing about wheelchair basketball was the rule that an able-bodied person can play helped me, because my brother used to play with me for the first couple of years.
Yeah.
It meant that it became a family sport and they could take part at the same time. But yeah, family for me and the support from my family is like the biggest deal, really. You know, so yeah, that was the main thing for me.
I used to go with Amy to her training.
Yeah, you see, but it's good though, isn't it? Because you then have a connection with your, you know, your family, your brothers and sisters.
Yeah. So you were fairly positive about your accident straight after, or was there kind of a certain point where you realised life would be kind of worth living again, or?
Yeah, I mean, it was quite soon on. I mean, my auntie passed away in the accident, and I basically, you know, well, the woman in the other car died as well, so two people had already died, so why would I let my life die, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
By moping about it, that was the sort of opinion I had. And like I said, you know, it was a second shot at life. I mean, when I woke up from the coma and everything, obviously when I was told all these things, you know, obviously there's that worry and lack of disappointment that you're not going to be able to go and kick football around anymore. But I think because of the situation and because of my auntie, you know, my family was, you know, grieving for a death of the family, and and me being severely injured, you know, I didn't think that me being worried would help the situation. I basically just had to man up and get on with it, really. That was kind of it.
And looking at where you are now, like, I'm sure in a way you're glad it happened because it's brought you so many opportunities in your team and...
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing in it, making a positive out of a negative situation. That's kind of how it's come. And, you know, one door closes, but 500 have opened to me. You know, that's the sort of way of living your life. But, yeah, there's lots of... you just got to get on with things. I think that's it, really. Just try and stay positive, you know, enjoy your life. As soon as you're negative about your life, you haven't got a life. You're just living.
Yeah.
Don't just live.
Just
you know, enjoy life.
What should I ask? Sorry, I just said that you should have seen the view out of his window. He has good
to see. I love you out my window. You want to see it?
Yeah. Where are you?
I'm at home. This is where I live, but this is why it's only nice in the summer. Look.
Oh.
So, yeah, I live 9 floors up in the air because I don't like to live on the ground floor because it says I'm disabled. But yeah, anything else you want to ask? Go away.
I should just go on. So, how did your social environment react to your disability? Like, did you notice any differences or are there things that annoy you in your daily routine?
There is a lot of... There is a lot of social things that happen. I mean, I think even your sister will comment on this one. But for instance, when we're at training camps and things like that, to go to the shop with another teammate who's in a wheelchair is
like... Yeah, she always talks about that.
Yeah, everyone looks at you like you're on a special day out. You know, in society, it is hard to do that. Me to go in the shop with your sister is a little bit different because... amputees can hide the fact that they're disabled.
Yeah.
They just wear trousers. But, you know, yeah, the society has changed. But also, you know, since the accident, the saying goes, you know, when your cards are down, you know who your friends are. And I'm a big person that I'll only surround myself by the people that are there for me, trust me, and are there no matter what, you know. So,
yeah.
Society's... it's changed a lot now, though, since getting London, really, since the last run up to London, since the publicity, since the media attention towards the Paralympics, the attitudes towards the public have changed. Now, actually, when people see someone in a wheelchair or with a disability, they go, so do you play sport? You
know, yeah.
They link the two together now because of the games and the publicity behind it. So it's nice because people now understand the fact that people can still live their lives and go on. So, yeah, society's attitude has changed, I think, because of London. I don't think it would have otherwise.
And I guess, did sports have a different meaning to you before and after the accident?
Yeah, I mean, sports before, like, was... I just went around and kicked a football, you know, it was a bit of fun with your mates. Whereas sport now, to me, is this passion, is this drive, is this constant want to achieve.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a great feeling. And to know that you can turn something like that into a job and a passion and a full-time career, you know, it's amazing. It's a great feeling. It's the best feeling ever.
Yeah. And so what are your wishes, like, concerning the future?
Obviously, you know, I want to keep representing my country. You know, the big thing for me is to... I want to become... you know the classification, so I want to become the greatest 2.5 player in the world.
Yeah.
That's my ultimate goal. And I've given myself a timeline of 15 years to do it because I want to be retired in 15
yep.
years' time.
Sounds good.
I don't want to be like all the other guys that are retiring with broken shoulders, you know. So I've set myself a limit. So I said when I turn 35, I want to retire. So I want to do that by then. And I want to win gold at a Paralympics for GB, you know, something wheelchair basketball hasn't had in years.
Well, the team seems to be improving a lot recently, so it's looking hopeful.
Yeah,
not London.
The program's great as well. I mean, to develop wheelchair basketball in this country so far has been amazing. What they're talking about, you know, trying to develop a university program, well, that would be even greater.
So, do I understand that right? They want to connect Paralympic sports and GB with university programs so that you get sponsored by university if you do community sports.
Yeah, they're trying to, because they're trying to do what America does with wheelchair basketball.
Yeah, okay.
So they're trying to develop something at the moment. That's kind of like the last hurdle. They have lots of clubs developed. They have an amazing junior league. The last hurdle for them is to sort out the university bracket. So maybe, maybe soon. Yeah. I mean, I don't think it'll happen quick enough for me to do it. I'm already past that point already, so I don't think it's going to happen.
Where's the money coming from? Do you know that? Where would the money come from for to support such a university program like that? Do you know?
I don't know at all. Mm-hmm. I think it would be self-funding through the universities. You know, it's a kind of case of like when they have people go to the university to play in the Books League. So they'll look after students, like say that are good at hockey, they'll come to university, and they'll offer them scholarships because they wanted to play for their hockey team and then be in the good league, you know. But a league has to be developed within the university first. It's a big ask, and I don't think I was... If it happens, and it's, I think it, by the time I retire, it'll all be set and running really well by then. So I give it 15 years to it for it to be done.
Yeah, okay. And are you registered on any social network sites?
Me, yeah, Facebook, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's it, really. I'm not really so good with the Twitter. It confuses me.
Yeah, same. What? Do you have any fan pages or anything?
No, I don't. No.
You haven't made your own yet?
Huh?
You haven't made your own yet?
No, I haven't. There is talks about a website being launched soon, but I'm not sure how that's going.
Okay.
I think that question just aims for the German students that want to connect with you and become your fan afterwards.
Oh, okay. No. Unfortunately, at the moment, I don't have one, but I might have a website in the next couple of months. They're just doing it at the moment, so I'm not sure.
Okay.
And, like, for other kids that have accents and are put in that kind of position, what would you say to them?
I always say this about anything to do with life, people that have had accidents or not, is if you've got a challenge, if you've got something you need to do, you take one step back, you look at the things you need to do to complete it, and you just go ahead and tackle it. You know, don't be scared of failing. That's the whole thing in my life. Don't be scared of failing, because you learn more from your failures than you ever do from your successes. So, you know, a failure isn't the end of the line. A failure just knows that you know what to do better next time.
Yeah.
You know. So, you know, people in accidents and things like that, you know, you just can't say no. You can't say no to things. You can't shut the door. You've got to live your life, because if you stop trying to complete things, if you stop trying to be who you want to be, then you've stopped your life at the end of the day. You know. So, yeah, that's the main thing for me. Is just take that step back and look at the challenge arise and tackle it one bit by bit. And nothing happens overnight. Nothing happens overnight.
Okay. Is that about it? Or?
Yeah, unless you have another question, we're good.
I talk lots, I'm so sorry.
No, it's
no, that's
great.
Bad. That's really great.
Do you have anything you want to add?
No, I don't think so, really. I think you asked some really good questions. I think you got all the details. I rabbled quite a bit, so you probably got to sit through that and work out what I actually said was useful.
No, that was really, really good. Thank you very much, Richard. I just have a question. How old are you?
19.
All right.
19.
And you're going to university or do you...
No, I'm full-time. Full-time
athlete. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not smart enough for the university.
Okay. I think that's...
Oh, thanks. Sorry it took so long.
No, it didn't take long at all. Jesus, I thought it was going to be longer. That's fine.
Oh, really? Okay.
So, do you want to see the article before we finish it?
I trust you guys, but it'd be awesome to see it when it's finished.
Yeah, definitely. You get a copy, specially signed by Alice and Amy.
Oh, that sounds good to me. I want it personally autographed.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'll be on to your sister.
All right. Thanks a lot, Richard.
Cheers. Thanks.
No worries. Take care, guys. Nice to meet you both.
Bye. Good luck with everything.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Is that okay?
Yeah. Right.
I think I covered everything.
Yeah, you did.